right. How's everybody doing? So this session is on technology for accountability and discipleship. That's a fancy way of saying filtering and parental controls. And you say, well, what about if I'm working with adults? Well, adults need filtering and some adults need parental controls too. So when we talk about parental controls, sometimes this can become a dangerous thing. I'm all in favor of parental controls. I like parental controls. I think we need parental controls. But I'm not in favor of them taking the role of the parent over. This is not like that rotisserie thing where you do the set it and forget it and you walk away. You have to be actively involved. And tonight, we are going to get actively involved. We're going to get a tad bit geeky. Are you okay to get your geek on tonight? I realize it's been a long day. You've been sitting there studying the Bible all day long. I get it. Well, tonight we're going to get just a tad bit geeky. I mean, we need to get a bit geeky because while there are a lot of great tools, they require a little bit of knowledge to know how to use them. Unfortunately, it's not as simple as you would like it to be. Now, you don't all have to become an expert. You don't have to become a full-fledged geek. But as you help people, as you parent, as you disciple, as you work with others, it's good to have some knowledge about how this stuff works. It's been said that locks on doors only keep out honest people. It's the same thing here. Filtering's great, parental controls are great, but there's always a way around them. That's part of what I do. I find ways around things. When I started at Faith 20 years ago, we had a basic internet service, and I thought we were pretty cool because our students could get online, and we had a way to control their content. A fourth grader, stop laughing, I'm not done yet. A fourth grader figured out a way around it. And that was not only humbling for me, but it showed me that there's no foolproof mechanism here. And he wasn't trying to find a way around it. He wasn't trying to get to a site we were blocking. He was just trying to explore the internet. He found a barrier, and he wanted to figure out what the barrier was. So as we talk about this, we've got to talk about the difference between device control and network control. And we've got to define these terms, because there's two ways to do this. You can control the device, or you can control the network. And if you don't know which those are, then it's very difficult to apply any kind of control. So let's talk about the network first. The network is what you're connecting to. So the network is you're connecting to a Wi-Fi signal somewhere. We have Wi-Fi here at Faith. If you're connecting to Faith Ministries, that's the network you're connecting to. We're controlling that network. We control where you go on that network. That's network control. Other places have this. Your public library probably has some kind of network control. Network control is very common, but the network is what you're connecting to, the internet via a router, a WAP, a wired connection point. Then there's device control. That's what you're connecting with. So that's your phone, your tablet, your phablet, your laptop, your desktop. Anybody? Still desktop? The device is what you're connecting with. Device control allows you to control the hardware itself, while network control controls what the device or the hardware can access. Device control can provide you a greater deal of restriction because you're controlling the device no matter where the device goes. With network control, I can control what you're doing while you're on our networks here at Faith. When you leave Faith, I have no control. That's an important differentiation. And young people in particular are aware of those loopholes. So they know you're controlling the network or you're controlling the device. An example of parental controls would be if you're using, or sort of device control would be if you're using the controls built into your Android or your iPhone. Apple and Google both make a variety of parental controls that control the device. Network control would be using something like OpenDNS or CleanRouter or a device that you would put on your network to help restrict that traffic. Network control is also common at places like schools and libraries. Now, if you go to Starbucks, there is zero network control there. So if you're at Starbucks and you're browsing with a device that's not controlled, you can go anywhere you want. McDonald's, everybody's offering Wi-Fi. I mean, Walmart offers Wi-Fi. That's so you can price shop against Amazon while you're in Walmart. I mean, that's what I do. I walk up to something in Walmart and I have to get my Amazon app out on their Wi-Fi, and I'm using Walmart as Amazon showroom. They're not filtering that traffic, though. So if you're on that network, you can pretty much do whatever you want. Both are beneficial. Both are good. There's strengths and weaknesses to each one. So think of this. Your kids are having a sleepover. you control your kids' devices, but what about the devices of the guests that come to your kids' sleepover? What happens to those devices? What happens to that traffic? Your kids go to a friend's house. They don't have any network control, and you don't have any device control in place. What happens when the kids are on their devices outside of your house? Not all network controls are even the same. Everybody filters Playboy.com. So much so that Playboy removed the naked pictures so that their site would get through the filters. Everybody filters Playboy. Do you filter anything beyond that? And that's the obvious one. There's all kinds of stuff out there that you want to filter and control and you should be aware of. Then we need to talk about the role of responsibility and accountability versus some authoritative restrictions. Again, we can talk geek all day long and all night long, and we're going to have some fun here, but at some point you have to understand what role does all of this stuff play. So let's talk about responsibility. Responsibility, I define it as the opportunity or ability to act independently and make decisions without authorization. It's a fancy way of saying you get to do what you want and you're accountable for your own actions. So think about browsing the internet. Do you have the opportunity or the ability to type in whatever browser, whatever location you want and go there? This is not something you have by default. It's an opportunity or it's an ability, but it's not guaranteed. Another definition is a moral obligation to behave correctly. So are you responsible enough with where you go on the internet and what you're looking for? Our world has this in your terms of your driver's license. You have to earn it, but it can be taken away. And let's talk about accountability. Accepting responsibility for one's actions. Everybody talks about wanting this, but very few people enjoy when it's carried out on them. So try holding somebody accountable. Is that an enjoyable process or is that an awkward process? And using the driving analogy, when you get a speeding ticket, that's instant accountability. You're responsible to drive at the posted speed limit, and when they pull you over for not doing that, it's instant accountability. And it could be carried forward into the form of a ticket or a court appearance, but you have instant accountability. Do you enjoy getting pulled over? Nobody ever says yes. Even if you get a warning, do you enjoy getting pulled over? I mean, we don't like that accountability. I'm at that level, and there's a consequence to be paid. There's a consequence for letting people, and especially young people, go wherever they want to online. You can't unsee things. Once it's in there, there is no Men in Black magic wiper eraser device for your brain. Once it's in there forever. Well, let's talk about authoritative restrictions. This is the iron fist. I can allow you to fail, or I can prevent you from failing. So you reach out, the young child reaches out to touch the stove. Do you allow them to touch the stove and get burned, or do you reach out and prevent them from getting burned? And we can talk about, we talk about in track one a lot about the key elements that are involved in parenting, but at some point with the stove, you want to go at far lengths to keep them from touching that stove, just like you want to keep your child from playing in the street. You're going to tell them no, but if they keep running into traffic, you're not just going to sit back and say, okay, go ahead. You'll do it once, you'll never do it again. Again, in this area, as we talk about accountability, you can't unsee things. And there's a lot of stuff out there that you shouldn't see. And everybody at some level will stumble with this. And even the best filters are not perfect. Again, locks on doors keep out honest people. But this side of heaven, we're going to fail, we're going to have to admit we fail, and we're going to have to grow and change to become more like Christ. And we sitting in this room may say, well, I get all of that. How do you apply that to a young person surfing the internet? Most children ages 8 to 10 who see pornography online do so during times when they're supposed to be doing something else, like homework. Most young people who go browsing for various content online do so because their friends encourage them to do that. So we can't let these restrictions that we're able to put in place become a crutch and say, well, I put the restriction in place, therefore I know they can't go anywhere they're not supposed to go. The restrictions are necessary, and I want to prevent my children from seeing things online they shouldn't, but that doesn't shift the responsibility and accountability away from the young person or away from me as the parent. I still have to teach. I still have to discipline. And in some cases with technology, the discipline can be incredibly inconvenient.